This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Perpetually standing in the breach and always ready to stay in the fight. Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. Presented by AR-500 Armor. The Armored Republic cometh. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three, coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio. This is Lock and Load, and first time we get a chance to do this year. Let's talk to one of the best writers out there. You can find his stuff at Ammo Land and The Truth About Guns. Activist and instructor, and his name is Dean Weingarten. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Bill. Always happy to be here.
Likewise. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
So, what do you think about the new gun control laws going into effect throughout the year for 2019? Have you had a chance to look at them all?
Well, I don't know if I looked at them all because there's so many potential gun laws.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a mixed bag. The referendum in Washington State is tremendously disappointing, but when you throw tens of millions of dollars and outspend the opposition, you know, maybe 10 to 20 to 1, and you have a friendly Supreme Court that says just because people can't read the referendum is no reason why it shouldn't be allowed on the ballot.
Right.
You know, the deck is kind of stacked against you. And that law, several parts of that law, will be adjudicated. It'll be challenged in court, and we'll see how high it goes. It might go all the way to the Supreme Court. The age issue alone is a big problem, saying that people cannot effectively buy guns from commercial dealers until they're 21.
Now, how many, and I don't know where I would find this data, but how many people between 18 or 21 are hunters, for example?
Well, it depends an awful lot by location. You will find many rural areas where a majority of people start hunting by the time they're 12.
Right.
And in Alaska, for example, you get away from Anchorage or the larger cities, and children are routinely taught to handle guns and to carry guns around.
Right.
So it's a tremendously variable question. And it's one of these things that I consider as an urban-rural split.
Right.
People in urban areas who don't go hunting and generally don't have much contact with guns think, oh, well, you shouldn't let children have guns, period. Well, if you boil that down to, you shouldn't let anybody have guns, period. That's a smaller percentage of people. But you get out into the rural areas where it's a tradition for people to be taught early gun safety, gun handling, and hunting, protection of livestock, all the things that we use guns for, and they go, what? You won't let me teach my 10-year-old to carry a rifle around? Are you crazy? So it's highly variable by location.
One of the things they're also doing is the firearm safety course before you can purchase a gun in Washington State. Is that every time you purchase a gun, or do you just take it one time, and then now that you're a designated gun owner, you don't have to take it again? Or
it's a good question, and I haven't studied the law enough there to tell you for sure, and it might even be something that's up to interpretation. Now, from what I've seen in most states, once you've taken a hunter safety course, it's good over most of the country. There's very few states that require that you take their dedicated hunter safety course.
Right.
But then we have situations like California.
We have to take it every time we buy a gun.
You've got a permit, and even though you have a lot of guns already, you still have to go through a 2-week waiting period to get another gun, even if you've got 20 guns at the moment, which was ruled unconstitutional by a district judge, and then the Ninth Circuit reversed that.
Right. They also have safe storage, which that's going to be the interesting one to see how far they, because does their safe storage law mean that they have also put in that law unwritten and unspoken that, well, in order to enforce this law, we're going to be able to come in without a warrant.
Boy, I don't think that would fly. Now, there have been safety considerations where people are allowed to inspect businesses without a warrant. I don't know that I've ever seen it applied to homes. And it varies by locally, but I recall a case in Wisconsin. It was a zoning case, and the zoning inspector, for safety purposes, was checking on whether this home was in compliance, and he had no warrant. The owner did not give him permission. The owner charged him with trespassing, and the court upheld the conviction for trespassing in that case.
Right.
So, you know, it's we're dealing with the areas of the law which are somewhat gray. I hope to think that the trend is moving toward limits on government power. There's a lot of sentiment in that regard. So I really see it hard to believe that they would enforce this with inspections of a home that didn't have a warrant. But the big problem is that if you have to use a gun,
yeah,
and it wasn't stored the way they say it has to be stored, you could conceivably get in problems like it, as in Massachusetts. But when I've read the excerpts of this law, and maybe you can correct me on it, on the referendum,
mm-hmm,
it had, didn't it have some cutouts that it had to be if you had children? Weren't minor children the primary?
If you fail to lock your guns up, you can be charged with gross misdemeanor or felony, community endangerment, which I would love to know if that actually existed prior to this. And this is for allowing children or prohibited people to have access to firearms. So
right.
I guess if you have kids in the house, you're charged with community endangerment because your kids were in the house, even though they may not know where the guns are. They've never gotten the guns.
When I read the excerpt on it, the impression that I got was that for you to be charged, a child or any prohibited person had to get a hold of the gun, display it in public, commit a crime with it, or commit some act that was actionable. And then
right,
you could be charged. So,
what I'm reading here is those who fail to lock up their guns can be charged with gross misdemeanor or felony.
Yeah. But isn't there an if in there? If the gun is displayed or by a child or by
if they access them, I guess.
Possessor.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, how are they going to?
It's a gotcha law, is what
it is. A gotcha law. What if they? I mean, gun. You know, most gun safes, and we've only got about a minute and a half left. But most gun safes are not really the safest things out there. The $500 gun safe is anything but. It's not like a real safe, and people that want to, and a lot of these you can pick up and run away with. But it is a gotcha law.
It's one of these laws. I've read lots research on these safe storage laws.
Right.
And he says there's no indication that they reduce accidents. There's no indication they reduce crime. In fact, there's some statistical evidence that crime goes up because people aren't able to access guns for self-defense because they locked them away. So in a case like this, it's one of those things that should be adjudicated in the courts as to whether it meets Second Amendment protections. It's hard to see how this would meet the test that were put forward in Heller, for example, because it says the guns have to be available for use in defending yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is saying, well, if you have it there and then somebody takes it, that then you can be charged. That sounds like it chills Second Amendment usage to me. But I'm not on the Supreme Court, and I'm not on the Ninth Circuit, and Washington is in the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit has got a tremendous reputation for trying to minimize Second Amendment rights as much as they can possibly get away with.
Let me get you to hold on right there. We're going into the break, and we'll be right back talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load. what's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Franklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. My guest this hour, from the land of Ammo Land and the truth about guns and the Arizona land, where you just, the captain of Captain and Tennille just died in Arizona, man. Did you see that?
I think I read a brief mention of it, yeah.
That doesn't, obviously doesn't affect you the way it affects me, does it, Dean?
Well, you know, everybody dies.
Yes, that is the problem, isn't it?
Something I came to a conclusion about, you know, pretty early in life.
Yes, yes, sir. I just lament the passage of time. That's all there is.
Well, yeah.
Now, recently, one of the Never Trumpers, who's a governor in a state, got just sort of slapped around by his own legislature when they decided to override one of his vetoes, didn't they?
Oh, that was wonderful. Yeah, John Kasich, the governor, I think he's former governor now of Ohio. Yeah, he vetoed, and it's a very sensible bill. I mean, they even had taken out some passages about a stand your ground law that I thought was perfectly good, but he objected to, and he still vetoed it. And he claimed to be a Second Amendment supporter.
Right.
And this is just very reasonable law. They have a number of lower-level jurisdictions, cities, counties, in Ohio that were playing with the exercise of Second Amendment rights. They would ban certain things, and the legislature had passed a law called a preemption law saying that these cities and counties were not allowed to do this.
Right.
But they just ignored the legislature. Well, the legislature had put some teeth in it saying you could sue and collect your attorney's fees and court costs if you want. So what you happened, and I think the particular town was Oberlin, but, you know, you'll have to look that up to be absolutely sure.
Right.
And so what happened was that they got sued for having violated the state law, and they spent a whole considerable amount of town money or city money defending it, and it got right up to the point where it was clear that the people with the lawsuit were going to win. And at that point, they rescinded the ordinance and said, well, it's all moot. So they didn't win the lawsuit because it was rendered moot.
Right.
Because the ordinance didn't exist anymore.
Right.
So what they, because it was rendered moot and they didn't win the lawsuit, they couldn't get all their attorney fees and what they had spent on it reimbursed. So part of this preemption law, HB 228, I think it was, in Ohio, said, you know, if you get sued and then you change the law, you still got to pay the attorney's fees. Because these people are always given the option to change the law before they get sued. You know, they're sent letters saying, look, you're in violation of the law, please change it. And then they refuse. And it's amazing to me how ideological this is for a great many people. They do not want any exercise of Second Amendment rights. And they, to them, it's a badge of honor to do whatever they can to prevent the exercise of those Second Amendment rights.
Right.
And they're willing to spend a lot of money and time to do that. There were go ahead.
That's a rare occasion to actually go and override a veto, isn't it?
It is. And of their own party, too. It's rare for Republicans to override a Republican veto. And it's rare for Democrats to override a Democrat veto.
Right.
But, you know, Governor Kasich, I heard that his father was a postman or something like that. Anyway, he just, I think, has gone off the rails. He's off the reservation. For some reason, he believes that it will make him more popular to veto pro-Second Amendment bills. I mean, I just don't think it will. I haven't seen that happen with Republicans generally.
No. Well, I mean, that means he's going to get lots
with the media.
They'll get him on CNN a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But who in the people who would vote for him watch CNN? Not very
well,
many, I don't think anymore.
I think Kasich is a throwback to where I think he's a pre-Trump type Republican politician where they don't really expect to have to produce what they actually promise they're going to do. You know, the whole idea
of actually
following through on your campaign promises has never been something any of those guys done prior
to Trump. Absolutely. I think that was one of the biggest eye-openers to see with President Trump in power, is how so many Republicans, especially in the Senate, just completely reversed their positions and voted exactly opposite of what they had promised for years and years just to oppose President Trump. I mean, probably one of the most famous of those is, former Senator McCain, who's from Arizona.
Yeah.
And he promised over and over and over and over again how he would repeal Obamacare. But when he had the deciding vote in his hand, he voted to keep it. And the only reason I could see was essentially to create problems for President Trump.
Well, McCain was a guy who got the nomination and lost the presidency. And now we've got a new senator who's he's getting sworn in, Romney, who also won the nomination and lost the presidential election. Do you think we'll see the same sort of jealousy?
Well, his op-ed in the Washington Post seems prescient that that's what we will get. I'm hoping he gets a little bit of pushback from the people in Utah. After all, Utah is a very conservative state. It has a very low crime rate. It has a pretty good state to be in if you're a firearms owner. They respect the Second Amendment mostly pretty well.
Right.
But, not as good as Arizona, but pretty good.
Yeah.
And so I can't help but think that President Trump is enormously popular in Utah. And for the freshly elected junior senator from Utah to essentially disrespect him in this way and say, you're just doing things wrong and I hate your style, is just kind of juvenile, and I don't think it's going to go over well.
Style has nothing to do with the job he's doing. So anyway, coming up on the next break, and when we get back, we're going to dip back into the archives on the way back. Not that way back, but and I'll tell you what I want to talk to you about when we get back, Dean. Recently in Madison, Wisconsin, there's always this rage going on about open carry versus concealed carry. And you wrote an article about the results of open carry. So let's talk about that when we get back. You can find the writings of Mr. Weingarten at MLand and at The Truth About Guns. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. Our story is as old as the country we live in. It is uniquely American. Pipe Hitters Union was born in the chaos of war, fighting tyrants so that others may live free. We didn't back away from the chaos. We learned to thrive in it. What began as a brotherhood has evolved over the years into a commitment to live by the values we hold dear, regardless of what stands in our way. PipeHittersUnion.com. Apparel with an attitude. Wear it if you dare. Like a piece of Americana, this is Nighthawk Custom. Completing Browning's vision of the 1911, Nighthawk Custom is not a mass production facility. Each custom touch is machined to an exacting standard, with the heart and soul of each craftsman that takes it through the process. Traditional or tactical, Nighthawk Custom delivers a weapon you can trust with your life. Custom to your specification or ready to ship with the reserve line. For their complete selection, go to NighthawkCustom.com. Nighthawk Custom. One gun, one gunsmith.
USA Radio News.
Still no end in sight to a partial government shutdown, and Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky tells Fox News that's no big deal.
Well, there is a big danger that the government shut down and no one notices. And in the past, the shutdowns have always been, a lot of them have been with a Democrat president, and they do everything possible, like closing down overpasses, closing down empty parking lots, closing down the World War II Memorial, which has no attendant or no cost to keep open. This time, they're not doing that, and so it's not quite as noticeable.
According to incoming Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, Democrats are doing what they can to help the president out.
We're asking the president to open up government. We are giving him a Republican path to do that.
A final report on the school shooting in Parkland, Florida, is placing responsibility for stopping future attacks on local schools and government officials. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Live from the AR 500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load.
I am talking to Dean Weingarten, writer, activist, instructor. Dean, there's been a lot of people that get out there and say, well, if you can carry a gun, even if they allow open carry, you should probably carry it concealed, because that way they won't know you have it and they won't try to snatch it from you. Which I've seen you carry open carry. And I'm going to presume that you know a little bit about weapons retention, but recently you wrote an article about somebody who was open carrying, and why don't I let you tell the story of this?
Well, very good. This happened on State Street in Madison, Wisconsin. I spent way too much time of my life in Madison, Wisconsin, getting various degrees, so I know a little bit about the area.
Right.
And State Street is a relatively short street, and it has almost no vehicular traffic on it, and it's crowded with pedestrians most of the time, and it has a bunch of bars and various institutions on the west end of the street, and a lot of university students, because the street basically runs from the University of Wisconsin-Madison to the Capitol, about 9 blocks. And this young man, he's 21 years old, open carrier, as a Second Amendment activist, and he had openly carried on State Street a few times before this, so this wasn't the first time.
Right.
And the previous times, he hadn't had any problems. Now, you have to understand what he was trying to do. He was not carrying the two pistols, the shotgun, and the large knife in a belt sheath for self-defense. That's not why he was carrying them. He was carrying them to make a political point, and he hoped to, you know, maybe make acquaintance with a few girls and get a couple of phone numbers. I mean, that is what he told police.
Right.
So we know why he was there. And the primary purpose was not self-defense. Well, open carry works very well for making political statements because people can see your arms.
Right.
If you're carrying concealed and trying to be inconspicuous, they don't see that you're armed. Well, he was on State Street, and there was a career criminal who I suspect has probably mental problems and seems to be a drug user and long criminal history, named Melvin Bogus. He was illegally on State Street because just 2 months earlier he had attacked a homeless guy, and the guy had to go to the hospital and get stitches on his head. And he went before a judge, and the judge gave him bail of $250. But one of the conditions of bail was that he does not, that he stays away from State Street. Well, okay. He's on State Street on this night, which was the 17th of December. It's about 7 p.m., and it's cold. It's below freezing. So people are probably wearing pretty heavy coats and gloves and hats and all that, and you certainly aren't going to be showing a weapon if you're carrying it concealed in those circumstances. But he approaches the open carrier who had a friend who was not open carrying and doesn't seem to have taken part in the situation. He approaches the open carrier, and there was some sort of a dialogue, which I would call an interview, being used by criminals. The interview is a way that you approach somebody to try to get close to them and see how aware and ready they are as to whether you're going to attack them or not. And he came up and he said something like, "Why you want to kill people?" Which is sort of nonsensical. And the guy answered him and tried to give him some political orientation, at which time Melvin Bogus moved in on him, snatched the pistol out of a holster, pointed it at him. Well, about the same time, the young man who was openly carrying took the shotgun and pointed it at Bogus, and they had a very quick and very short standoff where neither of them fired, and then Bogus ran off with the pistol. He was well known to police officers in the area. They had it all on surveillance video from around the area, and in a relatively short order, they had Mr. Bogus in custody, and he'll probably spend this winter in a warmer place with reliable three hots a day.
Three hots and a cot.
He may spend future winters there as well.
Yeah.
But the open carrier, the police went up to him and they talked to him and they said, "We know it's your right to open carry, and we're not going to arrest you for anything, and you didn't do anything wrong." But basically, from the tones of what I read in the various articles, they told him, "Look, if you have to shoot somebody, it's going to be really bad and you won't like it." Now,
well, that's true.
Compare this to about, I think, 2011, when the Culver Five were arrested for openly carrying outdoor at a restaurant outdoor in summer at some tables, and the Madison police arrested them. They charged them with disorderly conduct because there's no statute against open carrying in Wisconsin. They charged him with, I think, obstructing a police officer because they didn't produce identification on demand, which you don't have to in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And they ended up paying a settlement of, I think, roughly about $1,000 per person in this incident. So in the course of 8 years, because of open carry activism in Wisconsin, we've gone from where five people innocuously at an outdoor restaurant setting are arrested for simply open carrying to a place where the police go up to an open carrier who had a gun snatched, has two more guns and a machete on, or a large knife on him, and tell him, "Look, we know it's your right, and we're not going to do anything to you, but please be more careful." I think that's a lot of progress.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a lot of progress. I mean, I've got lawmakers here in South Carolina, which I've never looked into it, but I've got lawmakers here telling me, "You know, you can carry your rifle downtown in the open." I'm like, "No, I didn't know that," because most of the cops I know don't know that.
Yeah, and they had a similar situation in Texas.
Yeah.
Now, I think South Carolina is one of the last five states that generally ban open carry.
Oh, they definitely ban open carry. There's no, I mean.
Yeah, open carry of pistols, apparently.
Open carry of,
Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they did not ban the open carry of rifles. So what the open carry movement in Texas did was they started having marches openly carrying rifles. And since there was no statute against it, the police really couldn't do anything, and it got a lot of attention. And I recall talking to people who were in those marches about how people passing by in vehicles would honk their horn and wave their hand and basically congratulate them on exercising their Second Amendment rights. And that was very important in getting open carry passed in Texas a couple years ago.
Right. Yeah, open carry. We've flirted with that. They had a bill here in South Carolina. We would have been the only state this way. They were considering constitutional carry, which I call permitless carry.
Right.
But they would have been, we would have been the only state that didn't have open carry, which, as far as I know, and we'll see what comes out of the Young case, but as far as I know, the open carry part of the gun carry, isn't that what they referred to in the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear?
Well, I have to go into some history for you.
Answer that question for me in the next segment, if you would. I don't want to have to cut you off on that one. That is one question I would like to ask you. But we would have been the only state in the union that had concealed carry that was the only way of permitless carry. And I was told some of the crazy, like if they had allowed open carry, that would mean criminals could carry guns. That's what some of the legislators told me when I was asking them about that. But we're headed in.
One of the bogus was charged with was felon in possession.
Okay. We are headed into the next break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dean Weingarten. He can answer that question for me if he wants to. You can find the writings of Mr. Weingarten at both Ammoland and at The Truth About Guns. There's about 2,500 articles you need to start tonight and start reading them all. And be sure and comment and like and all that other good stuff, because Dean likes hearing about that kind of stuff. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Last day of the rest of my life, I wish I would have known, because I didn't kiss my mama goodbye. I didn't tell her that I loved her, how much I cared. I begged my boss for all the talks and all the wisdom he shared.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines, and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount, and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product, and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Time on the firing line, coming to you live from the AR 500 Armor Radio Studio. This is Lock and Load. Talking to Dean Weingarten, and I just asked him a question, so I'd like you to finish that if you would, and let me reiterate the question, if I may. We're trying. I'm asking, which of the ways of carry does Dean think were the founders were talking about when we were talking about the right to keep and bear arms?
Well, there's no question that at the time of the ratification of the Bill of Rights in 1791, they did not differentiate between open carry and concealed carry. And it wasn't because there wasn't anything to carry around concealed. There were plenty of concealed weapons at the time. There were muff pistols, which were widely available by 1791. You can look up muff or a Queen Anne pistol. It's considered to be a firearm that was made between 1665 and 1715. Small pistols that you could easily conceal inside a muff, which is where you put your hands to keep them warm when you're riding in a carriage or something like that. And obviously they'll put in the pocket as well.
Right.
And there were daggers, and there were dirks and assorted blades. There were sword canes that were where the blade is concealed inside the cane, and they were commonly available in the period as well. And there were no statutes in the colonies that forbade the carry of concealed weapons. They were commonly carried concealed. And we don't see any statutes forbidding the carry of concealed weapons for a good while. So the Bill of Rights passed in 1791. In 1813, Kentucky attempted to ban the carry of concealed weapons. It went to the Kentucky Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can't ban the carrying of concealed weapons because it's protected by our state constitution, and it'd be protected by the Second Amendment anyway.
Right.
But then in 1833, the Supreme Court ruled that the Bill of Rights did not apply to the state. And it was a weird case about whether the state had to pay somebody for taking some property on a waterfront. But basically, it became to be applied to all of the Bill of Rights. And shortly, right around that same period, early 1830s, the state started passing legislation banning the carry of concealed weapons.
Right.
Mostly in slave states, because they wanted to make sure that they could disarm any black man they saw carrying a weapon. And if it was carried concealed, well, they wouldn't be able to disarm him.
Right.
So we have had bans on carrying concealed weapons since the 1830s. And what Scalia and Roberts and others have basically said is that laws that have been around that long, we're not going to strike down, even though they violate the Constitution. Because they've been around historically for so long, we don't want to upset the apple cart too much. And Justice Kavanaugh has also, he hasn't talked specifically about concealed weapons, but he has said that he wants to observe precedent, and part of precedent is if a law has been in effect for a long period of time.
Right.
So that's where the idea that the Second Amendment only protects open carry. It's because we allowed early infringements on the Second Amendment in the 1830s, and they've been carried on to this day. But, interestingly enough, in 45 states, you can open carry. So we only have five states we really have to work on to allow for open carry as part of the Second Amendment, and they're Florida, California, Illinois, let's see, I think it's New Jersey and New York.
Well, so, South Carolina and Florida.
Oh, did I miss South Carolina? I thought I said Florida.
You might have, but
South Carolina
is, and Florida are the only two shall issue concealed carry permit states that don't have a provision for open
carry.
That's
right. And then we have the other three, which are California, New York, and Illinois. Yeah.
But
I said New Jersey, but that was incorrect.
Right.
Their law actually says you can open carry if you've got a permit. It's just about impossible to get a permit is the problem.
Right.
And so in those five states, both South Carolina and Florida have been attempting to get passage of open carry in some form or another, and they've come very close. They just haven't quite done it.
Close that deal.
So I think it may become moot if the Supreme Court holds that you can carry outside the home. Not that you can, but you have a right under the Second Amendment to bear arms outside the home. Then I think open carry will come along in those remaining states.
Do you think that will be a result of the possibility of that will be the Young case?
Well, the Ninth Circuit has a very bad reputation on Second Amendment cases. And the Young case is from Hawaii, which is a lot like New Jersey in that open carry is allowed, but with a permit, and it's very difficult to get a permit. I think they only have about 175 permits, the last I checked, in Hawaii. Carry, and almost all of them are security guards.
Yes, but in New Jersey, see, they give out about 400 permits a year. I don't know what the breakdown is on regular versus...
Yeah, mostly judges, former police.
But in Hawaii, with the exception of the guards that you're talking about, they haven't given out any in 13 years.
Exactly. And, you know, in the Ninth Circuit, the three-judge panel ruled for open carry as a constitutional right.
Right.
But they have the state of Hawaii has appealed to go to an en banc ruling from the court. That'll be, I think, 11 or 12 justices out of the Ninth Circuit, which has about 24, 25. They're so big that they can't have the whole court, the whole Ninth Circuit on an en banc ruling. They go to about half.
Right.
And in previous en banc circumstances, they have strongly held against the Second Amendment, you know, trying to preserve, in my opinion, as many infringements as they possibly can.
Well, that was...
And then if the en banc panel in the Ninth Circuit holds against the Second Amendment in the Young v. Hawaii case, then will the Supreme Court take the case? That becomes the question, and they've been very reluctant. We have two new justices, though, Kavanaugh, you know, and Gorsuch. And with those two, there's a good chance they would take a case. We just don't know yet. We haven't had enough experience yet.
Well, they've got the four votes they need in order to get the cert.
Well, I'd like to think so, but we've been surprised before.
Yeah, that's true. But, I'm also looking at Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who I wish no ill will, but I mean.
I don't wish her any ill will either, but she's at the stage of life where anything could happen at any time.
Yeah. I mean, she was big pals with Scalia, And Scalia wasn't nearly as old and not nearly the same kind of health. And, oh, well.
Yeah, anyway. I looked at Ruth Bader Ginsburg's genetics, looking at her parents and grandparents. And there were a couple of grandparents that went into their middle 80s, and the rest died much younger.
Right.
So, let's see, her great-grandparents, I think I went back that far. And so, you know, we just don't know. And that's up to a higher power than us.
Yes. And she is pretty resilient. I have to give that to her. I'm impressed with her resiliency. But
yes, she has been. She's had a couple of different bouts of cancer. She had this recent, was it lobectomy of a one of the lobes of one of her lungs. To prevent cancer. And because they found a couple of places where there were malignant cells there. We just don't know. It's speculation that doesn't really help much.
No.
I'm sure that President Trump has several potential replacements in mind. So
what will happen
will happen.
I know, but here's my thought, my parting thought before we run out of time. After what we saw happen with Kavanaugh, are we going to have, like, is this going to be like a physical civil fight that we're going to have over the next one?
I don't think it's going to be as bad because we have a friendlier Senate.
Yeah, well, that's true. But that didn't – we knew that that was going to go that way anyway, even with Flake and all those other people.
We were on the cusp. We had three unfriendly senators in the Senate and only a one-vote margin. And so it was very, very, very tight because of that. Now we'll have about a three-vote margin and not nearly as many unfriendly senators, in my opinion.
There you go. We've run out of time, Dean. Thanks for showing up tonight. I do appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Always a pleasure.
Likewise.
Always appreciate it.
Back again in 21 hours. This has been Lock and Load.
The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table. They understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight. The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table. They understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR-500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.